Well, good evening. If you will, take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, a familiar passage. Luke chapter 10. We'll be looking at verses 38 through 42 tonight. Title of tonight's message, Choose the Best in 2020. We got a new year, Lord willing, right around the corner if he tarries. And I'm sure it will be full of many, many, many resolutions come January 1st, right? How many set resolutions at the beginning of the year? Raise your hand. A few of you, some, all right. Now, setting them is one thing. How many keep them? All right. How many have went out and bought that brand new treadmill or the elliptical and it turned into a clothes rack? All right. Don't raise your hand. All right. Don't raise your hand. All right. We've all been there. We've all done those things. The wrapping up of 2019 is coming. The starting of 2020 is coming. And I just pray it will be a good year, but I pray it will be a year that we choose the best. Now, obviously, you know the best, who that best is. And as we go through the sermon and through this text, it will be revealed. So if we will, verse 38. Now, before I read verse 38, I find it very interesting. This passage comes on the heels of the parable or the story of the Good Samaritan. And before our Lord speaks about the Good Samaritan, he has a lawyer in chapter Luke chapter 10, has a lawyer come and approach him trying to trap Jesus. And he asks him, you know, he pretty much says, you know, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus says, well, what do you say it is? And the lawyer even agrees that you're to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, right? Well, I find it very interesting that our Lord, the lawyer continues to say we're to love, you know, or Jesus says we're to love our neighbor. And the lawyer asks, well, who is my neighbor? And then Jesus goes into the parable of the Good Samaritan. And he says, just like the Good Samaritan, the one who's shown mercy, you are to go and do the same thing. And I find it very interesting. Right off the heels of that parable, we see two different ladies. We see Martha and we see Mary. We see Mary who chose to love the Lord your God with all her heart, with all her soul, with all our strength, with all our might. And that's my prayer for us for 2020, that we would choose the best, that we would choose to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. So let's pick up at verse 38. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him, that is Jesus, into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Oh, I pray as 2020 approaches that we would choose Jesus, the good portion, the best portion that will not be taken away from us. See, Jesus is the best. There is no comparisons. Jesus is the best, and I want each person in our church to choose Jesus over everything else. Now, that doesn't mean we have to neglect other things. That just means he has his proper place. That is first in our hearts, first in our lives. He is the king. He is the one that's on the throne. And I just pray that he'll be on the throne of your heart. The remainder of 2019 and 2020 and however many days or years or decades the Lord has before you. Now in this passage, and I've preached through this before, we could easily, this narrative passage, I could easily just contrast or compare Martha and Mary. And many preachers do that, and I've done that. We see Martha, this busy person serving for the Lord, right? There's great strengths in that, isn't it? We could look at this passage and say we are to work like Martha. We could also look at this passage and contrast them and say we are to worship like Mary. Would you agree with that? There's strengths to Martha's approach. She's serving the Lord. We are to serve. There's strengths to Mary's approach. She is worshiping the Lord. Well, I don't want to do a compare or a contrast. I don't want to compare them tonight. What I want us to do is I want us to look at choices. You know, we all make choices, don't we? Caroline, our oldest daughter, got it honest. The man you're looking at right now tonight got it honest. And we got it from a man named Don Williams. And let me tell you what we got. The inability to choose to buy something. All right, now I don't know if that's the rest of you, but Caroline and I and her papa, my dad, we can see something on sale, we can desire it, we can say we need it. We can go to the store, look at it, hold it, pick it up, lay it back down. Look at the other 15 items that are similar to it at similar prices, right? And we can say, I need this, and it's on sale, and it won't be on sale much longer. And then I can put it right back, drive back home, to say, I really should have bought that. To turn around, go back to the store, pick it up again, hold it, contemplate, do I need it or do I want it? Sherry says, I can buy it, but should I really? No, let me put it back. I can go back home. The next day, go back to the store, it's still on sale, touch it, walk around with it in the buggy, right? I've been to Lowe's many times, pushing that cart. Nah, I don't need this. I go put it back, right? Have you been there? Maybe not to this extreme, right? I can put it back. It's on sale for another day. I go back the next day. I pick it back up. I put it back in the buggy. I get closer. I go put it back. I can turn around and make the decision. I'm going to buy it the next day. I go in there, and guess what? It's no longer on sale. Sherry says, if you just would have made the decision, you would have saved us money and time. See, we all have choices, don't we? See, Mary chose. She chose to sit at the feet of Jesus. She chose the best. And that's what I desire for us tonight. So tonight, in this passage, I just want to give us three statements that should guide our choosing, that should guide us in choosing the best for 2020. All right? The majority of our choices don't just happen, do they? Stop and think about it. You just don't wind up at the store, do you? You choose to go there, right? The majority of our choices don't just happen. They're calculated and they're even weighed out, correct? Yes, I'm telling you, they are, right? There are some things that just kind of come along, but the majority of our choices are weighed out. Like when I choose bacon, I can pick up a pack of applewood and I can pick up a pack of maple syrup. Maple syrup's all right. Applewood's the best, all right? I make choices, right? We all make choices. Well, tonight, I just want to give us three simple statements from this passage, mainly looking at verses 41 and 42, that hopefully will guide us in our choosing in 2020. The first is this: choose wisely, because we are all faced with many good things to choose from. Choose wisely. Be careful how you choose is another way we could say it. Choose wisely. Why? Because we are all faced with many good things to choose from. We all have choices, don't we? Many good choices. Now, we do have some bad choices in our life, right? How many would like an eraser to get rid of some bad choices? Yes, so do I. But there are many things that that are good things, that are amoral, right? Again, bacon, applewood, or maple, right? I pick applewood. If you choose maple, I'm okay with that. Invite me. I'll share it with you, okay? I mean, there are many just choices that we make that can be good ones. Some good, some bad. Examples of choices: what to eat, where to eat, what to buy, what to wear, what to do with your time. There can be many good things to do with our time, can't it? Martha here, she made a choice. And Martha chose to invite Jesus into her home. However, her invitation stopped with Jesus at the door. Now, she continued to serve Jesus, and I'm not trying to be too harsh on Martha, because to be honest with you, I don't do very well with idleness. I have to be doing something. I don't relax too well. Even when I'm in my office, I don't just sit there. I'm doing something. I'm studying something. I'm reading something. I just like to do things. Martha was a servant, and she chose to invite Jesus into her home. See, we have a choice. You choose to invite Jesus into your life. You choose to allow Jesus into your life every day. See, Martha chose to invite here. Now, we see that Mary also chose. But she kept that invitation wide open there. All right? So Martha, she invited Jesus into her home, but quickly turned to the things that she needed to do to meet Jesus' needs. Now, I just want to stop right here. In context, in this story, Martha's preparing a meal. And there's nothing wrong with preparing a meal for Jesus. He's their guest. But Jesus didn't need an extravagant meal. And I think there's a little application for us here tonight. Jesus doesn't need us to do anything for him. Jesus is sufficient in and of himself. He has his servants where he wants them. What we need Jesus. He doesn't need us. All right? Now, I'm not trying to be critical of us. I can be like Martha. Jesus, you need me to do this. Jesus, if I'm not gifted to the church, that's pride. That's sinful. It's wrong. Jesus doesn't need Robert. I need Jesus. Just a little application there for us tonight. So again, these choices we see. We see that Martha, she became distracted with good things. Now, I want us to note that in this passage. Look at verse 40. I've already read the passage, but it talks about how Martha was distracted with much serving. Wouldn't you agree that serving Jesus is a good thing? I hope we all say yes. Serving Jesus, serving the local church, serving one another is a good thing. But if we're not careful, it can take us away from the best. And that is Jesus, right? She became distracted with good things. See, our choices, if we're not careful, they lead to distractions, and distractions lead to further bad choices. Now, in verse 40, he uses this word distracted. It carries the idea to have one's attention directed from one thing to another, to become distracted or overburdened or quite busy. And what I want us to see tonight is distractions are costly. Distractions in our life take us away from our focus on Jesus. And here are four ways that distractions affect us. Number one, distractions derail our focus. The distractions in our lives, they derail our focus. There are distractions everywhere, aren't there? Yes, there are. I'm one of those. I cannot eat at Buffalo Wild Wings very easily. Their food's fine. But there are too many TVs for this old boy. All right? I'm like, my family's here? Yeah, I mean, what am I to do? There's all these TVs, right? I get distracted. My kids, every now and then, when I give them instructions, they get, you got it, distracted. Our kids, every night, you can almost count on it, will be distracted at bedtime. It's not original with us, but we heard it. I think Sherry saw it on Facebook, and it is so true. There are some nights our kids become dehydrated philosophers, all right? It's like they have had nothing. They fasted from liquids all day, and they have to drink their 2 gallons of water right at bedtime, right? And then they want to discuss the world's deepest problems at bedtime. Just go to bed, right? Hey, look, distractions, they derail our focus. They take us away from Jesus. Now, I want to be careful. I'm not saying that if you're serving the church or serving Jesus, you're distracted from Jesus. But what I'm saying is if we're not careful, we can focus more on what we're trying to do for Jesus than actually being with Jesus. There's a danger there. Distractions, they derail our focus. Not only that, distractions drive our frustrations. Are you frustrated? Could it be that you're distracted? If you ever get frustrated because people aren't fitting your agenda, maybe you are too distracted. Distracted with your self-importance. Look at that. I mean, look at verse 39. And she, that is Martha, had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Do you see that Mary or Martha is distracted with trying to do something for Jesus because she feels that Jesus needs her, possibly? And she's so distracted, she becomes frustrated. And she becomes frustrated with Mary because Mary has not met her agenda. Could that be us? Let me tell you, that can be me. Me and Martha have a kindred spirit here, okay? This person's not quite in line with what I want. I'm trying to pull the train this way, and this person isn't on board, right? Well, again, I'm not trying to be critical of Martha. I'm just saying what these distractions, they cause us frustrations. We can be distracted with these things. Ray Pritchard said this about this passage: good work, righteous work, even holy work, even preparing a meal for Jesus can become a distraction if we are not centered upon the Lord. Knowing Christ must come before serving Christ, or else our service will be barren and our hearts will be frustrated. Our focus must be on who? Jesus. Not serving Jesus. Jesus. If our focus is on Jesus, He'll propel us, He'll fuel us, He'll equip us to do the ministry He's called each and every one of us to. Distractions, they drive our frustrations. Not only that, distractions lead to anxiety and troubles. That's what our Lord says right there. In verse 41, He says, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things." Martha was bothered, and Jesus was telling her that everything she set out to do, although they were good things, was not the best thing. All these things, they pulled her away from the best and caused her anxiety and troubles. How many, raise show of hands, have you had anxiety and trouble in your life? If you haven't, just hang on, okay? It's coming, right? It's like a train. You're getting ready to be on those tracks, I promise, okay? Hey, look, she had this anxiety and trouble. All right. The word anxiety here is to be anxious, to be unduly concerned, to be apprehensive. To be troubled is to be troubled, distracted by something. You know, anxiety is not anything that is new in our day. The Lord had people around Him that were anxious and troubled, did He not? We're reading of one. A recent study, this is how recent, in 2010, several years ago, right, said this: one in six Americans take some type of antidepressant or anxiety medicine. That was in 2010. Now, I Googled it again and found some other answers or data. And it says now at about 2017 that one in five Americans are on some type of anxiety or antidepressant medicine. Now, let me stop and say, if that's you, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. That there are occasions where there's some kind of chemical imbalance and that is indeed needed. I am not a doctor. I would not dare try to be one. But our Lord shows us that the anxiety and the trouble that Martha had brought into her life, she didn't need anxiety or depression medicine. She needs Jesus. Christians, a lot of the anxiety and troubles in our life is brought on by who? Do this. How many fingers are pointing back at you? The majority of my anxiety and trouble brought on by me. Just like Martha's. It was brought on by me. See, she didn't need a pill. She needed Jesus. She needed to spend time with Jesus. What are you troubled about? What are you anxious about tonight? Just time out. Time out. What is it? What is it that's giving you grief, that's causing you heartburn? What are you anxious about tonight? What troubles you? What keeps you awake tonight? I'm not saying Jesus is going to take it away from you. But I'm telling you this. That Jesus will carry it for you. That He'll help you with it. That His grace is sufficient to help you with that anxiety and that trouble. Our Lord in Matthew 11:28 says, "Come to me all who labor and are heavy laden," and He will what? give you rest. Now we know in context there, he's speaking of salvation. Those who are striving for their salvation. You come to him and he'll give you salvation. He'll give you rest in him. But we can certainly apply this. Those who are struggling tonight, those who are troubled, those who have anxiety, those who things aren't quite going the way you'd like for them to go. You want the antidote tonight? Choose Jesus. Choose Jesus. Choose Jesus. 1 Peter 5:7 says that we can do what? We can lay all our, or cast all our anxieties, all our cares, all our concerns on him. Because why? He cares for us. Martha had a Lord that cared for her, and that same Lord cares for you tonight. What is it you're troubled with? What is it that has distracted you from the Lord? Bring it to the Lord. Bring it to him. The number one antidote for anxiety and trouble in our day is for us as Christians to humble ourselves just like Mary did and to sit at the feet of Jesus. This is your anxiety medicine for 2020. I want you to remember that. Your anxiety medicine, your trouble medicine for 2020, my trouble medicine for 2020 is to sit at the feet of Jesus. Sit at the feet of Jesus. Now we're going to talk about it. We're going to break that down. What does that look like? We're going to break that down in just a moment. But we've seen here that distractions lead to anxiety and troubles. Don't be distracted. Keep your focus on who? Jesus Christ. Distractions lead to demands. Now, why do I say that? Look at the end of verse 40. What does Martha demand of our Lord? Tell her, my sister, Mary, right? I can see the eye roll, right? Then to help me. Anybody ever rolled your eyes in here? Right? Oh, right. Oh, rolling her eyes at the Lord. Tell her then to help me. Notice that Martha demanded, she commanded the Lord to tell Martha to help her out. Wrong priorities lead to demands. What are you demanding of the Lord today? When we sit at Jesus' feet, we don't demand anything of him. All we want is more of him. There's a difference. We don't demand anything. We only want more. Distractions lead to demands. Number one tonight, the first statement that I hope will guide us as we choose wisely, or as we choose the best in 2020, is this. Choose wisely because we are all faced with many good things to choose from. The second statement I would like to give us tonight that should guide us, or I hope will help guide us in our choosing in 2020, is this. Choose Jesus because he is necessary for your spiritual health. Choose wisely, but choosing wisely is choosing, you got it, Jesus. Choose Jesus. Why? Because he is necessary for your spiritual health. Why do I say that? Look at verse 42. Our Lord says, but one thing. Now, your Bible may say a few things. Does anyone's Bible say a few things? Some translations say a few things. When you get into the Greek manuscripts, the majority of them agree on, it says, but one thing is necessary. Who do you think that one thing is? Jesus. Jesus. See, many of us, we're concerned with what? We're concerned with our physical health, and we should be, right? Many of you this year have gone to great lengths. In 2020, you will go to great lengths to take care of yourself physically, to improve your physical health, won't you? Yes, we will. But what about our spiritual health? You go to the doctor yearly for your annual checkup, don't you? Many of you do. Do we need a spiritual checkup? Well, I say yes. See, you will not grow spiritually without Jesus Christ. Let me repeat that, Christian. You will not grow spiritually without Jesus Christ. Our pastor, I'll speak with him frequently about how Mr. Newbold's doing, and many of the conversations he'll reiterate one thing: he's not eating much, and it's been quite a while since he's been eating a good meal, right? Most of us in here are not going to go too many meals, right? Are not going to miss too many meals, correct? I'm going to eat tonight. All right, I hadn't had dinner yet, but I can guarantee you before my head hits the pillow, I'm going to do everything I can to do what? Find something to eat. And it may be in the form of a protein shake here in just a little bit because I'm concerned about my health. All right, we're going to eat. We're going to take care of ourselves physically. We need the nutrients, the water and the food and those things to grow, don't we? We're going to fill ourselves full of the things we need to physically to sustain ourselves, aren't we? Yes, we are. You are, aren't you? Yeah, I don't think anybody's going to go hungry today, tonight or tomorrow. Then why do we deprive ourselves of what we need spiritually to grow? Is it because we just don't care? Is it because I just don't care? Oh, we need a spiritual checkup. And see, there's some intentionality here in her choice. Mary chose intentionally to sit at Jesus' feet and listen. See, choosing to sit at Jesus' feet doesn't just happen. It takes intentionality. It's a decision we make. You're not going to just walk into it. You and I choose to sit at the feet of Jesus. Martha thought that serving Jesus by being busy was important. Mary come to realize that sitting and listening to Jesus was the most important. We all have choices. We choose every day this and that. We choose to have a good attitude or a poor attitude. We choose to be thankful or ungrateful. We choose to work hard or hardly work. We all choose, don't we? In our spiritual life, we choose also. We choose to be with Jesus or to be with someone or something else. We choose to serve Jesus or to serve ourselves. What are you choosing tonight? Will you choose Jesus? Again, I don't believe this passage is about us choosing between serving Jesus and worshiping Jesus. I think there's a balance there. We need both. But we should not try to serve Jesus without first being with Jesus. I recently listened to a podcast while I was running. And yes, Russell Jones, I have recently found my running shoes, if you're out there. I'm going to invite you one night to go run with me. But anyways, I was listening to a podcast, and they were talking about spiritual gifts. And they made a very important statement that it is important for the Christian not to find their identity in their spiritual gift. Their identity is in Christ. And Christ has given them a tool, that is their spiritual gift, for the service of the serving of the body. Being is important. We must be before we do. Be with Jesus. Be with Jesus. Howard Marshall in his commentary says, one serves him, that is Jesus, by listening to his word rather than by providing exclusively for his needs. You want to serve Jesus? Get in this. You want to serve Jesus? Get in his word. That's how we serve Jesus. Get in his word. As I was preparing this sermon, I had this thought, and I was really convicted, and it was this. Choose the master over the ministry, and the master will prepare you for the ministry. Choose the ministry over the master, and you will resent the ministry while neglecting the master. Let me read that for you. I don't remember reading this anywhere. I was just with the text. Very convicting that all too often I can choose the ministry over the master. Choose the master over the ministry. Now, we all have a ministry. You all have a ministry. We all do as Christians. Choose the master, that is Jesus, over the ministry, and the master will prepare you for the ministry. Choose the ministry over the master, and you will resent the ministry while neglecting the master. Oh, help us. God, help us choose the master. As he'll help us in our ministry. Choose Jesus because he's necessary for our spiritual health. Now, in verse 42, it says, but one thing is necessary. And I want to talk about that thing that is necessary. That is Jesus Christ. And what we see here from Mary is if we go back to verse 39, it says, and she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet. When we choose Jesus, we choose to submit to Jesus. That word sat there, it carries the idea of sitting at the Lord's feet, humbly surrendering to the Lord, to sit beside. It's a posture of humility. Mary, in a posture of humility, sat at the Lord's feet. She submitted to Jesus Christ. Now, what I find interesting here is in the original language, the author, when he wrote it this way, the exact word he used it in a way that it was a once for all time decision. Mary, he viewed the action, Mary's action of sitting at the Lord's feet as an action that was complete. I think what the author is getting at here is this. Mary chose to sit at the Lord's feet and chose not to be distracted. She chose to fully surrender, to fully submit to the Lord at that moment. She didn't allow anything to distract her. Serving, preparing a meal, sweeping the floor. You know, our pastor this morning talked about how you want to talk to somebody and then go to prayer. What will ring? The phone. Something will happen, right? Well, you and I, we need to get to the point where we can put those distractions away, where we decide daily to sit. We view that action as completed, like it will not happen again. It's happening there. It's going to happen throughout the day. But we need to keep those distractions away. How many have heard the phrase, burn the ships? Well, I researched that. I've heard it used in several wars, but many contribute that original statement to a Spanish conquistador, Hernando Cortez, when him and his group of men landed in Mexico in 1519 on the shores of the Yucatan with only one objective. Their objective was to seize the great treasures known to be there that was hoarded by the Aztecs. It is reported that when they land on the shore there at the Yucatan, that he ordered the burning of the ships. And the reason he ordered the burning of the ships is so that his men knew there was no way back. There was no turning back. There would be no distractions. That the goal they set out to accomplish must be accomplished, or it meant death. They burned their only way back. They burned the ships so that they would accomplish the goal they had set out, and that is to reach the treasure that the Aztecs had stored up. I want to submit tonight to you that we as Christians, when we go to sit at the feet of Jesus, we need to burn the ships. We need to light all the distractions, not literally. We need to light them on fire so that nothing will keep us away from the treasure of Jesus Christ. In 2020, will you choose to burn the ships? Jesus, I choose you. I sit this moment at your feet. And no amount of good things will pull me away from you. Will that be our reply to Jesus? Will that be what we decide to do? See, we submit to Jesus. Christ is calling each one of us to come, that beautiful word, to come and sit at his feet, to come and surrender, to come and submit to him, to sit and listen and be close. He doesn't want us to attempt to listen from afar, from a distance. This isn't an invitation to buy a ticket to a football game and sit in the nosebleed section our Lord has given us a ticket on the 50-yard line and right there with Him if we'll only choose to take it. This is an invitation at His feet. Now, we see this word sit, that she sat. It was a once-for-all decision here. But what I find very interesting is if we continue, it says that she sat at the Lord's feet in verse 39 and listened to His teaching. See, we are to learn from and of Jesus. You're to constantly learn from and of Jesus. Now, she uses these words here to listen. She sat at the feet and listened to His teaching. This is an action that the author, he uses it in a sense that it's ongoing. This isn't an action that's completed. This is something that is ongoing. Continually, she's continually listening to Jesus. She's not zoning out. She's not worried about when the chicken leg's going to get cooked. She's not worried about all those things. She's listening intently to Jesus. See, we must have a zeal to learn of Jesus through His Word and His Spirit. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and He will what? He will draw near to you. Psalm 27:4, one of my favorite verses, says this. The psalmist says, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Without Jesus Christ, you and I will not reach to the maturity of our faith. We need Jesus. We're being conformed. 1 Corinthians 3:18 tells us that we're being conformed. We're being transformed from one degree of glory to another, aren't we? Into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God who lives within the Christian is transforming you tonight into the image of Jesus Christ. More and more from one degree of glory to another. Every day you're to reflect more of the glory of Jesus Christ around you. You reflect more of the beauty of Jesus Christ. Well, here's what I want you to see tonight. You cannot reflect Jesus Christ. You will not be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ without Jesus Christ. We all need that. It's like trying to grow muscles without nutrients. It just won't happen. We need Jesus. So the second statement I hope that proves beneficial for us tonight. Choose Jesus because He is necessary for your spiritual health. Now I could add here before we go to the next statement. Jesus is necessary for spiritual life. It's possible you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You need Jesus to save you. It's the same thing. You can apply this right here. If you're not saved, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Jesus is saying, come sit at My feet. He's saying, surrender to Me. If you'll surrender your life to Him tonight, that is, you'll repent of your sins and place your faith in Jesus Christ, you'll learn of Him. He'll save you. We need Jesus, not only for spiritual health, but also for spiritual life. Now, the third statement I would leave us with tonight is this. Choose Jesus because He is the best there is. Now, these aren't profound statements. You probably read this passage and said, I don't really need Pastor Robert to walk me through to expound this passage. I get the meaning. Great. I'm just here to remind you tonight then. Choose Jesus because He is the best there is. See, choosing to spend time with Jesus is the best choice you can make today, tomorrow, and all of 2020, and all the rest of your life. It says right here in verse 42, but one thing is necessary, our Lord says, Mary has chosen. That word chosen, it carries the idea to make a choice in accordance with significant preference. Select someone or something for oneself. Mary selected. Do you get the picture? She selected Jesus for who? Herself. You know what that tells me in that word as I break it down? I can't select Jesus for you. And you can't select Jesus for me. It's an individual choice. Will you? Mama, you can't make your kids choose Jesus. Daddy, you can't make your spouse choose Jesus. Son, you can't make your mama choose Jesus. You can show them what Jesus looks like. But each one of us must individually choose the best there is. Mary made a choice. She realized that there's more to life than just food, didn't she? Literally. You know, our Lord would say in Matthew 4:4, but he answered this to Satan. It is written, man should not live by what? Bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. She chose, it says right here, the good portion. That word good here is to meet a high standard of worth and merit. Wouldn't we say that's Jesus? He's of high worth, high value, high standard. See, choose Jesus because he's the best there is. And what I want us to notice about this choice, what does our Lord say about Mary's choice? At the very end of verse 42, which will not be taken away from her. When you choose Jesus, you get what cannot be taken away. When I choose Jesus, you can't take him away from me. What Jesus gives will not be taken away. That word taken away is to be deprived by taking away. No one will deprive you of Jesus when you choose Jesus. No one can take him away. What the Lord gives, he grants, and no one can take away. What Jesus gives to his children is their undeniable right and possession. As a believer, as a child of God, you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to you. There are many things I've been given in this life that I've lost, that I've broken, that I've thrown away, that others have taken from me. But when we choose to sit and learn of Jesus, he gives himself through his word, and no one can snatch that away from us. Oh, I implore you, brother and sister in Christ tonight, choose Jesus because he's necessary. And choose Jesus simply because he's the best there is. Recently, one of my uncles from Mississippi had requested that he got online, and he graduated high school in 59, and he found this 59 Fairlane in Newport, North Carolina, in great condition. He wanted me to go look at it. He couldn't get up here. His health and his wife's health wouldn't allow him to travel up here. So I took a trip one Friday morning. I went up and looked at it, cranked it, looked, you know, did all kind of things to it, took videos of it and sent it to him, and he wound up purchasing it, was very grateful, and out of his showing his appreciation, he sent us a package of Omaha steaks. And there were some other things in the box. And this Mississippi boy only knew, growing up, there was only sirloin. All right. I didn't know there was other cuts of meat. My daddy, a sirloin boy, that's all I can afford, right? He didn't feed us ribeyes. I didn't realize there was ribeyes and T-bones until I got here in Jacksonville when I went out with some of my Marine buddies. I was like, really? But anyways, he sent us these filet mignons. And I cooked them on the grill. It's been a few weeks ago, and there was four of them. Abby doesn't know what good food is yet. She don't like steak yet. So anyways, the rest of us ate those filet mignons, and we were all coming, man, these things are so tender. They're so good. Whew. Now, I can't afford the best, but that best was good. It's not about affording it. Jesus has already given us himself. Will you and I, church, will we just simply say no to all others, yes to Jesus? Jesus, I choose you. Jesus, I realize you're necessary. I realize you're the best. I'll burn all those other ships just to lay hold of the great treasure of Jesus Christ. Will we do that? Really, the question for me is, will I do that? Because I can't choose Jesus for you, and you can't choose Him for me. Will you pray with me?